Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We've had some phone calls with, you know, with Rossi and other players and you know, our pitching coach, Tommy. That's really everybody's concern. But for me especially, I just don't want to get ramped up for an unknown date and, you know, kind of have to turn it back down. So it's a fine line of keeping the arm moving, playing some catch, doing some things, not necessarily, you know, maybe getting off the mound right this second. But I think you just, once we get this date, then you can kind of, you know, I've been doing enough stuff to be able to build, and I feel like you're just kind of, you know, mentally waiting for that date, and once that date hits, it's like, okay, now I go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That's John Lester, and he was on with Bruce and, of course, Matt Spiegel inside the clubhouse on Saturday, and we're delighted to welcome Bruce Levine to the program. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning, Bruce.
Good morning, and I want to thank all of the wonderful military people that have sacrificed so much for us through our entire existence and that now are out there doing the same thing. Thank you so much, and remembering all the valiant people that lost their lives protecting our country today.
Well put.
Yeah, and Bruce, you also had a chance to catch up with John Lester. We just heard that cut coming in. I got to tell you, listening to that really made my day. It just made me happier. He's coming back. I don't know if baseball is, but John Lester's got to get his 10 wins to get the 300. There's no doubt in my mind that he's got his eye toward that. Hey, just give me the date. I really enjoyed the interview, Bruce. You guys did a great job. But it also was uplifting. I mean, you really did feel like that's a guy that's talking about coming back, and maybe the players get it.
Yeah, Mike, I think that was my biggest takeaway out of it, the fact that he talked about, hey, don't listen too much to the rhetoric from either side. We need to get this thing done, and we need to get back on the field. Baseball needs, people need their baseball, and we needed it just as much as the fans do. So that was the encouraging part. It was all positive. It was all uplifting. And especially from a veteran who's been around for as many years as John Lester has, to be that positive about it and to say, hey, don't listen to all the bluster out there. We're going to get a deal done. I was very encouraged by that. I mean, he didn't guarantee that a deal would be done. He did kind of give you the idea that veterans like himself will have some strong say-so as to what occurs.
You know, you're right, Bruce, and I think that what you heard from John Lester is what you saw in other reports from the weekend, in that there's a spirit of compromise on both sides, recognizing the reality of not wanting to have money get in the way of baseball in 2020 if, and that's a big if, all the other health concerns and safety issues can be addressed. In light of that, after hearing Lester, after seeing what's out there, could you put together a potential timeline for an agreement and or a return to spring training?
Yeah, I don't think they have more than a week left to get this thing done, honestly, guys, because if they want to hit these timelines, and it's kind of been semi-etched in stone that they want to have spring training pretty much done with by the first week of July and games start then. If you're going to do that, you can't expect everybody to get to spring training in 2 days, okay? I mean, realistically, what would you say, 5 to 7 days to get going to where you're going to go? Or if it's your home city, you know, making those accommodations, which you don't have right now, bringing your family with or not bringing your family with, the likelihood is not bringing your family with for the first 3 weeks. There's a ton of minutia that's really important to get done before you can get guys to a spring training headquarters, whether it's in the home city or in Arizona or Florida. So I think it's got to be done by a week from now. If the presentation of the economics of the report are tomorrow, okay, and that's all the indications that we have right now, that will be presented to the players tomorrow by the owners as to the economic plan that the owners have for them. If that happens tomorrow, I think we got about a week, and that's it. Because I think by, you know, June the 7th or 8th, probably by the 10th at the latest, you're going to have people starting to have spring training to get your 3 weeks of spring training in and get ready for, you know, maybe the 4th of July when you want to start Major League Baseball again.
And Bruce, I think they know it. I think that the Players Association knows it, and I think that obviously the owners know it. And, you know, tomorrow is D-Day. They're going to give their proposals, and there's already a counter proposal waiting. So it just seems like everybody knows what has to happen. Everybody knows the time frame, and we'll find out how it goes down.
Yeah, look, there's another, you know, ancillary situation that's really important. That is the schedule, okay? Mm-hmm. How do you have a schedule when you don't have a start date, okay? You must have that. You must have your broadcast partners a part of that, you know, television, radio, national television, you know, just all the technical aspects of getting those broadcasts ready together and prepared for maybe an 82-game season. So there's a tremendous amount of work to be done once the go sign happens and they give them the green light. It's really important that happens now. And I think you guys are probably in the same position I'm in. That is, we have very little patience for the economics of who's going to get what and when. We're more concerned about the athletes being able to play, being safe, and then the venues like the city of Chicago allowing that participation to take place.
Well, that's the thing, Bruce. I think you look around the weekend and the news reports, it depends on what state or what city or in some cases what pool you're in, how far the restrictions are going to go, and how people are going to kind of adhere to some of these laws and regulations. And here in Chicago, will the White Sox do something different than the Cubs in regard to spring training? Do we know yet? What are the things that they're weighing if we do get an announcement within the next week? And I agree with you on the timeline, but then the spring training, in quotes, will that be in Arizona? Will that be in the respective ballparks here in Chicago, or do we know yet?
Well, I think that's up to Mayor Lightfoot and, you know, her deciding to open Chicago. You know, we still don't have, you know, an opening here for Chicago, and the mayor said it'd probably be now the first week of June sometime that she'll get into her next phase of opening Chicago. We see the state is opening up ahead of that on Friday. So we have some approval there. But then again, I think you should feel good about the fact that the Chicago Cubs and the Ricketts family and the White Sox and Jerry Reinsdorf have been staying in touch with the governor and staying in touch with the mayor, and that a plan will be in place at some point for them to either quickly pivot and go somewhere else if Chicago's not the place where you can have spring training. I think that's the first step is, will the mayor open a part of the city up? I mean, again, it's the logistics of, you know, north side, south side. Maybe she'll open a certain section of the city up before another. There's always that possibility. Maybe the White Sox will end up spring training in Arizona. Maybe the Cubs will be in Chicago. We do not know yet, but, you know, hopefully they have a better handle on it than we do with the mayor's plan going forward.
How does that work, Bruce? I mean, in terms of just trying to arrange flights, trying to get people together. I mean, do you do you have to, when you come up with a spring training date, you'll obviously have, I guess, 4 weeks of spring training. Is that enough?
Well, it's going to have to be. I think we go back to the latest test on that, and that was in 1995 when we had the lockout and you had the replacement players for all of spring training. And then by the 1st of April, somewhere around there, they got a deal done. And the regular players came back and had 3.5 weeks of spring training in 1995, had a 144-game season. So that can be done. The specialization of baseball right now, and particularly in pitching, makes 1995 and 2020 very different. But nonetheless, I think they're using that as, you know, probably to look at, hey, 3.5 to 4 weeks is a very minimum that we need to have for these people. We're hearing 3 weeks. With expanded rosters, that's going to make it more palatable to people, you know, thinking that if you have a 30-man roster to begin with, and you also have the ability to go to 20 other guys in your organization as kind of a taxi squad, moving people in and out with maybe new sets of rules as far as major league playing time this year. I think all of that is going to come into play as well. You know, as Lester said, you know, you're not going to see him coming out of the chute throwing six innings. I mean, that was the pace they were on when the first spring training stopped after March the 12th. They were going to have another 2 weeks left, and then baseball was going to start. This is going to be probably much different.
Bruce, the Lester interview, let's go back to that for a second, because as Molly pointed out, and this was an interesting thing, you know, he's a cancer survivor, and his perspective on all of these health risks that players will be taking, and I think is a valuable one, and one maybe not many people in baseball share. And yet the confidence with which he spoke and trusting the Cubs medical team, which he complimented, as well as I think people around baseball trusting their own medical staffs, that stood out to me as a level of confidence or trust that maybe you didn't expect to hear from him. Where does that come from? And do you think other players share that kind of confidence that he expressed in their own medical teams?
You know, it's a great question, David, because I can't answer for a lot of them. You know, John is, you know, one of the few that we've been able to talk to during all this time. But I think there is tremendous confidence in the medical staffs and the teams that they work for, that they're going to do the very best they can. They always have been in preparation and taking care of them with their training and medical staffs, which are, you know, fantastic on both sides of town and throughout Major League Baseball. So from all that, you know, it's a different type of trust, though. I mean, let's be honest. Generally, you're trusting your body and, you know, getting ready and coming back from injuries. That's a much different, you know, this is a different leap when you talk about going through that and talking about something that can threaten your life, you know, just within a short period of time if you contract the coronavirus. So from all of that, I think there is a feeling that the 67-page report and the going up and back between both sides and figuring it out is showing that there is a tremendous amount of protection built into this. Whether players can pull it off, whether they trust each other to adhere to this when they're not playing baseball, that's another matter, and I don't think I can answer that.
Bruce, we'll let you go. We know you have to prepare for your own show.
Repair would be right. That would be.
Yeah, well, repair yourself. But before we do, last question for me. John Lester needs 10 wins to get to 200. If you take 82 games and you use a traditional 5-man rotation, that would mean he'd get 16.5 starts. There's no way he's getting 16.5 starts because there's not going to be enough time in spring training. We don't know how many starts he's going to get. We don't know if he's going to get to 200 wins. We know his contract's coming up. Do you see him with 200 wins before he retires? Do you see him with the Cubs after this season?
Yeah, great questions. I can't answer either one except to tell you this. I don't think he'll get 200, number 200 in 2020. But I do think he will whether it's with the Cubs or somebody else. And I do think that 200 is the new 300 when we're starting to look at great pitchers of this era, maybe the last 20, 25 years, compared to, you know, the Randy Johnson, Maddox, Pedro, all that era. And the qualifications for the Hall of Fame will be much different moving forward, because you're never going to have 300-game winners again. That's an impossibility. So I think it's important. What's more important is for Lester to be able to come out and pitch well for the Cubs. That was the one story that was really starting to evolve on both sides of town, that both pitching staffs were really starting to come into shape and pitch well and look good, you know, with just a few weeks left before spring training was over with and the season was going to start. Whether they can pick up where they left off the second time around, it's going to be fascinating to watch as we hopefully have baseball pretty soon.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Bruce.
Thanks,
all right, guys. Have a great day. Happy holiday to you guys.
You too, buddy. Happy holiday. That's Bruce Levine.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.